Hey guys, this week we're going to be talking about our tips for people that are new to the hobby. If you're looking to get into board gaming, we have a couple of tips and that we think you could use moving forward into the hobby.
Here's Luke
and Jake,
and this is Ménage à deux.
Let's go. Right, so welcome to another episode of Ménage à deux. As we said, I'm Jake, and
yeah, I'm still Luke. Well, before we start, I just wanted to I listened to the first two podcasts, and especially this in the second one. I don't know what happened, but I keep making mistakes speaking English. So I think I'm just going to stop talking, and then I'll say bye at the end. So you'll be listening to Jake for the next 20 minutes or so.
That's exactly what your wife would love to hear you say, that sentence. I think I'm going to stop talking and say bye at the end.
You think my wife would like to hear me say, let's listen to Jake for 20 minutes or so?
Yeah, that's probably not the best part of that sentence.
You're so cruel with her.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about our top three tips for people that are new to the hobby and what we think that they should do given our short experience or our longer experience playing with games. But before we get into that, let's talk about a game that maybe we've played recently. Luke, is there a game that you've played in the last week or so?
Well, Jake, I'm currently in Paris. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's in France. I'm in Paris, and as you know,
Paris, Ontario,
they don't play board games over here. No, anyway, I didn't play any board games this week, but I did go to a local store called Descartes, and the reason why I went there is that I wanted to buy Wingspan. If you've heard about Wingspan before, it's an engine builder. It's a game about birds, thus the name. It's a very, very good game. Basically, you have a board. You have to play cards on your board. But as you put them down, you build a better engine. That's why it's called an engine builder. And you build better ways to make points. So basically, you're looking at everyone's going to have a card at the start of the game, and the card is a secret way to make points. So your adversaries. Okay, thank you. So your adversaries have a different card, and at the end of the game, you're going to make points. Depending on what card you have at the beginning of the game. So, and I think I said at the beginning of the game twice, but basically at the end of the game, you're going to make points depending on the card you had at the start of the game. Anyway, and every round you have, you also have like objectives that you can reach, but everyone can. So let's say I'm the one who has the most yellow birds. I'm just making something up. I don't think there's that category, but it could say like at the end of this round, the one with the most yellow birds will get 5 points. And then the person in second position will get 2 points. It's very cutthroat. And then the third one will get 1 point and anyone else will get nothing. I think it's zero for third position. But anyway, so you have to build an engine to make points with birds, and it's a very beautiful game. I think, to my knowledge, is the only game I own that was made by only women. It's the designers are women, the artists are women, and the reason why I bought it here is that it's sold out pretty much across Canada. I did find it in Halifax a few weeks ago. But it was in English and I wanted the French version. I wanted to be able to play because I work at a French immersion program, French immersion school during the summer. I wanted to be able to play with the students. So I bought the French version here.
Yeah, I just to let people know how hard it is to find this game. I've looked for it online, and I haven't been able to find it. Of course, I should never rush into buying games, but I actually follow Meeplemart's Great Deals section, and I receive notifications when the page has been updated. I won't share with Luke how I do that because I need to beat him to some games sometimes. And I received a notification, and you know, about 10 minutes or 15 minutes later, I looked. I don't always look that quickly after receiving the notification, but this particular time, I remember thinking, I'll check it out right away. And there was Wingspan, damaged version, which if you've ever purchased a damaged game, and Luke, I know you have.
At Meeplemart.
Yeah, at Meeplemart. I will not speak to all other places, but the damaged games at Meeplemart are not all that damaged. So you end up getting really good deals on games that are completely fine. The components are always fine inside, and maybe the box is got a little dent on it, or the corner is a little bent or something. But anyway, I found it $39.95, and it was already taken 15 minutes after getting that notification. So it's an incredibly popular game right now. I haven't played it, but Luke, the way you talk about it makes me want to try it.
Oh, it's an awesome game. It's not a game that's too long. It takes about an hour to play. It's not that difficult to teach either. So, you know, you should try it out. Jake, I have to, before I forget, I have to say something. You know, during the last episode, we talked about our best game under $25. And I completely forgot my number one. I don't know why I didn't put it on that list, but I'm like sort of ashamed myself right now. It's a game called Cockroach Poker. That should have been on my list instead of Bang the Dice Game, actually. It's a wonderful, wonderful little game that costs, I think it's like $12 to $13. It's a very, very fun game. I've never played that game and no one laughed, you know, like every time I've played that game, we just burst out laughing. It's very odd because that game doesn't have rules. Basically, you just have to guess if the people you're playing with are lying or not. And that's it. But it's super fun.
Oh yeah, it's a great game. I don't think I played it with you. I think I saw you playing it with a group of people, and I just watched the experience, and it was hilarious for you all. I bought a copy because it was $12, or I think I got it for $9.99 on Amazon. It fluctuates in price.
You're always better.
Yeah, I've always have been, at least. You still have you still have time. I grabbed it. I played it with some colleagues at work, and the exact same thing happened, and I've played it maybe four times since with my version. And I think I have played it once with you since I bought it, actually. But it just makes everybody laugh. It's the stupidest fun and humor, where somebody says something that you would never expect them to say, or they forget the name of one of the insects, and so you know that they're lying. And anyway, it's a hilarious and great game. But that means that not only did you steal my number one and change your number one last week, but that you now have another number one. How many number ones do you have, Luke?
Number one. I only have one, but it just changes. So yeah. I don't know if you know how it works, but my number one is now number two.
I think I'm following you.
Okay, thank you. So what have you played this week, Jake?
I played a new game. Actually, I don't know if it's new, but it's new to me. And it's called Scarabia. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah. It was funnier when we did the French version in your list. Scarabio.
Yeah, but that's, you know, Scarabio. That's what it's called, and I'm guessing. And there's only one way to pronounce those letters in French.
Yeah, if you can't pronounce the name of game, you shouldn't be playing it.
Yeah, I should just go home and stop talking.
Okay.
Bye. No, but Scarabia, okay? This is a game that I saw at a local board game store here in Gatineau called Los des Jeux. You're able to rent games there. So if you're in the Ottawa area and you happen to be listening to this, take a peek at that store, because renting games, it's like going to Blockbuster when you were a kid and renting video games. And you can just try it out and see if you like it. So I rented this game, and it's kind of a combination of a couple different things I've seen before. Karuba, Blockus, Patchwork, or Baron Park. And so what I mean by all of that is that it kind of has these Tetris-like pieces, and that's where the Patchwork and the Blockus come in. But there's this simultaneous round action that happens. So everyone is doing the exact same piece every round. And that's what makes me think of Karuba. So in the game, everybody has their own board, a 10 by 10 grid of spaces. And there are scarabs that are all over the board. And the goal is to kind of create enclosures around the scarabs to get points. So to take the different Tetris-like, Blockus-like pieces and to close in on the scarabs on the board. And there's a multiplier that helps you to figure out how many points you win. But everyone starts with the exact same orientation of their board. And there's a pile of 12 cards. Everyone has the same 12 pieces, and you flip over the top card, and maybe it's a, you know, a piece looks like an L or a Z or a C or whatever, a cross. And everyone has to place that piece right now. And you cannot change where you placed it. And so there's always somebody that will say in this type of game in Karuba or in this game, Scarabia.
I think you changed the pronunciation.
I don't know how to do it, man. Leave me alone. Scarabia. Scarabia. They say, we're all going to finish.
If you're the designer of the game, please send an email with the correct pronunciation. Yeah.
Then they'll say, we're all going to finish with the same thing, because I'm going to look at your board and I'm going to think I'm going to do the same thing as you are. But it never ends up that way. Everybody always takes a slightly different path or a slightly different strategy to it. And you're just playing pieces, these puzzle pieces. And eventually you probably won't be able to fit your puzzle pieces in. And that'll be the end of your game. But usually that's around the 10th or 11th round. Sometimes you can make it all the way to 12. It's a 20 to 25 minute game. It's a lot of fun. I think that you should try it if you see it, especially if it's at a game group or if you're able to rent it like I did. It's totally worth it. It does not replace Baron Park or Patchwork for me. I kind of guess it replaces Blockus, but it's just slightly different enough that if somebody wanted to play Blockus, I'd still play it. But yeah, that's Scarabia, and it's a pretty good game.
It's funny that you like. I was like, since you started talking about that game, I was thinking, you said it's sort of like Karuba, Blockus, Baron Park, and Patchwork. And it's funny because I could see how you would put Blockus, Patchwork, and Baron Park in the same category, but I've never been thinking about Karuba as being that type of game. Actually, it's more like you're trying to. I understand why you're saying that now, but in my mind, they're not the same type of game at all. It's just like Karuba. You're trying to get your little explorer to a pyramid. Basically, you're not like, but you do have to place tiles down on your board. So I can see what you're saying.
So, but it's not because of the placing of tiles. It's because everyone has to use the exact same tiles in the exact same order. So in Karuba, you'll say, I pulled tile 24, and everyone has to find their tile 24 and then play it. So yep. That's what made me think of that mechanic there of how to decide what order we play the tiles in.
I see. I haven't played Scarabia anyway, so yeah. I can't say anything about it.
I just made it up. I never played it.
Scarabia.
Scarabia.
Anyway, so what's the subject today, Jake?
Yeah, we're going to talk about our top three. I kept saying top three. I think I have more than three that I'd like to share.
I know I have four. So it's our top three that has four items.
Fine. Top four. I had five. We'll go to four. The top four tips or pieces of advice that we'd like to share with anyone who's looking to get into this hobby. We mentioned that in previous episodes that we want this to be a channel and a podcast that are for people that love games, but also for people that are maybe newer to games and thinking about getting involved in the hobby. And so we thought it would be important. We talked about this a little bit, that we wanted to share this type of advice or these types of tips that we have learned over our time as board game geeks.
Also, if you like podcasts, you can still listen to our stuff.
Yeah, that's
even if
true.
If you don't like board games.
If you're just a podcast person and you're out there, you know, scouring the internet of podcasts to find the perfect voices, you will find that podcast eventually. But thank you for stopping by here on the way.
Yes, exactly. I feel the need right now to have a sexier voice.
Yeah, but it's already.
I don't know what you're saying.
So. Let's get started. My number four, I'll start with my number four, is do research and watch videos. So spoiler alert, Luke, you know exactly what my top four are and I know what yours are, but we'll let the overlaps happen.
No, I made a new one in English.
You did that for the top five games too.
No, I'm joking. I have the exact same.
Okay. Do research or watch videos. So I love watching videos on YouTube. The Dice Tower is a great channel. They've got so many contributors, so you can find different types of shows that they do. There's, you know, top 10 lists. There's Look Back with Tom Vassell, which I really like to watch. And there's other types of other types of shows that they've put together, so you can learn about games, learn how to play the games, learn about the games that they like. And there's tons of other YouTube channels out there too that are doing the same thing. Podcasts. Board Game Geek is a website which is somewhat extreme. It's a little bit intense. You can be a little bit intimidated by that website, but it is a wealth of knowledge. It is full of information that you can learn about games, read reviews. And so I would say that if you're really interested in getting in the hobby, start by just watching a couple of videos, going on to YouTube and seeing if you find, we all have our favorites, you know, myself and Luke, I'm sure we can both name the board game reviewers that we seem to, not that we like them the most, but that we like the same types of games that they like. And so I usually, if I'm thinking about buying a game, will watch that reviewer to see what he thought, and that will help me to decide if I want to get it. So I would say do research and watch videos.
Yeah, and it's totally out of the subject, but really, if you're looking to learn rules, and Rodney from Watch It Played is actually explaining rules, he has a video about it. Do go to Watch It Played. It's probably, I think it's the best. When I want to learn rules and I don't want to read them, he's the best, period.
He is the
French
best.
French and English. Yeah.
He's the absolute best.
Exactly.
And he's Canadian. Let's not forget.
Yeah, PEI. So my number four is go to board game cafes in your town, your city, and try games. Talk to local employees. Ask them, like, let's say you're three players at a table. You can ask them, like, what can we play for three players? And they're going to ask you, like, what type of games do you like? If you don't know, they're going to suggest new games. It's actually very helpful. And then you can try a bunch of them. Usually it's like $5 and you can play as much as you want. And find off like designers that you like, publishers that you like, and then buy something from them or get something from them. Like, for example, Jake, you like Days of Wonder. You have everything they made. You have like the plush thingy, the teddy bear, the underwear, the socks, and probably a nightgown. So
I was going to say the same thing. My comeback for that was I have the bathrobe.
Oh, well, which is the same type of thing. Basically, the bat robe or the bathrobe?
Yes, both. Okay, I believe a bat robe is the bathrobe that Batman uses when he gets out of the shower. So
that's
it looks like
exactly.
It's cape.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so go to local board game cafes.
Yeah, I totally agree. I go decently often to the Board Game Cafe in Ottawa. It's my favorite, I think, in the country. Just because
have you been to the one in Halifax?
I have with you. I think I like the staff better at the one in Halifax. They're much more, they seem more well-informed and friendly, but that's also just the case about the East Coast of Canada. Very friendly people. But I just love the building at the Loft in Ottawa. It's a cool attic style. When you're up on the top floor, and on the main floor is much more diverse in its games. And in terms of, there's video games, there's trivia night too. So it's a little bit more of an active spot. And then in their basement, they've got a tiny little microbrewery that has really great beer. So it's just the whole building I have a strong feeling of love for. And I think that's why it's become my favorite cafe in Canada.
It is a nice cafe though. My only issue, I would say, if I have an issue, would be that, like, it closes very early. They usually close the top floor at like 10 or some around 10. And then they send you downstairs, which has, I mean, you can actually have the games from upstairs, but you have to remember what was there. You can't have a look, right? You can ask them, like, can you go upstairs and grab this game? So it is good. They do have a great selection, and then food's not bad either, but I don't know. I just don't like that part. But I love their table. The fact that they have like glass tables and you can put something under, there's like a shelf under. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. So my number three, be sure you really need it or really want it. I say need it with an asterisk because you don't need any games, let's be honest. But sometimes you get that feeling that you absolutely need to buy it. I know that I do. I know Luke likes to make fun of me because it has happened once or twice that we have been playing a game and I haven't even finished the game yet. And I'm already looking online how much it is. And even sometimes I've already purchased it before the game is over.
So sometimes I feel like your criteria are, one, this is a game, and that's it.
I actually thought you were going to do a second criteria, so I was waiting. Okay, what's the second? Yeah. You know, it's like what kind of pizza do you like? Well, I like all pizza that's in front of me, so let's eat it, right?
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, so be sure you really need it or you want it. So to finish that idea is try games in a way that doesn't cost you tons of money. So I mentioned renting the game earlier that we spoke about, whose name I will not mention because I can't pronounce it. That gave me the ability to try it and to see if I actually liked it. I probably wouldn't have bought it. It wouldn't have been one of those games that I really needed before I played it, but I still was able to try a new game and I didn't have to buy it. So there are games that I've purchased that I thought were going to be great. I did my research. I watched my videos. I wanted to buy it. It looked like the perfect game for me, the designer I like, or the theme I like, or the whatever. And then you play it and it's not as good as you thought, or you play it and it's great. And then after two or three plays, you've had enough. You've had your fill. You can sell games used. But it's not always easy. So sometimes you think, I'll put it up for $10. That's got to be cheap enough, right? But people might not be interested in it. And I've had a couple games that, maybe four or five that sat on my shelf waiting to be purchased after I posted them online for sale. And I even, decreased the price over time, just trying to get some interest for it. And eventually there was a local gentleman here in Ottawa that was starting a board game club with some high school students. And he was looking for donations of games. And I said, I'm going to get rid of some of these games because it's a good cause. It's spreading the game love out there. And they're not bad games at all. It's just that I can't seem to sell them and I'm done with them and I need the shelf space. So I ended up giving them to him. So that was a good solution. But that doesn't always come along. And you don't want to just give your games away to a thrift shop either if you can avoid it, because it feels like it's just money that you've thrown into the hobby that you've lost. So my number three is be sure you really need it or really want it.
My number three is go to a local store. And, at a local store, you can actually have a look. Well, if you want to buy games, actually go to a local store. You can have a look at the games. It's actually nice to – it's a nice feeling. You get in there. You see what's new. You see what's trendy. And you can actually – when I go to local board games, board game stores, I have a hard time not leaving with something. So yeah, you can do that. But if you actually want to save money, basically use Kijiji. If you're Canadian, use Kijiji. If you're from somewhere else, use the equivalent. In Canada, we have that. Basically, we can sell and buy on Kijiji anything. So you can do that online. Or there's Facebook pages per region. The Maritimes, for example, we have Maritime Tabletop Gamers Buy and Sell or something like that in Ottawa. I don't remember what it's called, but Ottawa Gatineau.
Board game buy and sell, something like that.
Something like that. So look it up. It's actually a very good resource because I do buy a lot of my games from there, and I do sell games on these platforms as well. So local store, Kijiji, or a Facebook page.
Yeah. So my number two is somewhat similar, quite a bit similar to that piece of advice. It's buy used. So this is kind of in the same line of you know, being sure you really need it and being able to test it. So spending the least amount of money possible, buying used is a great way to buy games that you really, really do want. You've made the decision and you're positive you want it. You can find them used online. Usually, again, at the local store here in Gatineau, called Lost des Jeux, they actually sell used games as well as they rent games. So it's a great place to go if you want to save a couple dollars here or there on games. And usually some of the big titles, the great games that everyone talks about, they come along every once in a while. And that's something that I've had a couple times where I wanted a game and it was the new hotness of that year, or maybe it was the new hotness a couple years back, and it felt like no one was selling that game, and so I bought it new too. But then 3 or 4 months later, you see it used and no one's buying it on the channel. It's still, or in the group, it's still available after a couple of weeks. And you start to think, maybe I should wait a little bit and buy these used, because you can definitely save a bunch of money between the tax as well as just the discount in price. So that would be my number two, is buy used.
My number two is to listen to podcasts and watch videos. So basically, keep listening to us. We might mention a game that you might want to try in the future. You can watch videos. There's so many videos online. So if you hear something about a game and you think that might be interesting, just watch videos. So there's, you mentioned it earlier, like you can go on Board Game Geek, and there's tons of other platforms as well. So there's plenty to help you out.
And I think that Board Game Geek in particular has basically everything you could need, because it has the games ranked, which, you know, is done via voting. I don't give too much weight in their ranking, but a game that's in the top 500, that means something to me. I won't necessarily look at the top 10 and those must be the only games I ever need to own, but you can kind of get a gauge as to whether a game is something that's appreciated by gamers or not. But even then, you don't have to base your decision on that, but you can read reviews, you can find rules, you can find different language rules, you can find homemade expansions. There's videos. It's got everything on there.
Well, basically, in my opinion, basically the top 1,000 games are solid games.
Exactly.
It's just that some of those, I just don't like the type of game. Remember when we bought Gloomhaven, for example, which is, I think it's still ranked number one right now. It is a solid game. It's a very well-designed game. We just are not the type of guys to play that game. We played once and we were like, okay, it's not worth the price we paid for it, so we just sold it right away before we completed too many missions to, like, for it not for like so that we wouldn't be able to sell it back, because you actually paste stuff on the game and then you change it as you go, so we didn't want to do that. So, and we were not really into it, so we just decided to sell it, but it's still a good game.
And that's a game that particular game covers a lot of our advice here, where, you know, I didn't do that much research on it, but everyone was talking about it. It was the huge new hotness. I was tempted by it like crazy. I happened to be at a board game store and they had one copy left. It was $149.99. And I called Luke and I said, are we doing this? Are we buying this? And so we split it down the middle, played it once and didn't like it. Luckily at that time, it was still very popular. And so we did a decent job of getting, most of our money back out of that. And that's fine. We spent a little bit and we experienced it and we got to try a couple missions. But it could have been easier for us to find one that we buy used or to try it out. I don't think you could ever rent that game, but to find somebody else who has it and you can play with them on a mission or two. It is an amazing game for those who like that type of game. And that's one of the things where don't read that it's number one and think that's the first board game that you should ever buy, because clearly the best is the best.
Yeah, start from the bottom. Anyway,
I think your number two or my number two?
Oh, listen. Yeah, it was my number two. So it's okay, your number one right now. Okay.
So my number one is make friends with people who like games, which in 2019, it may be not the easiest thing to just randomly make friends.
Tinder for board games.
Yeah, Tinder for board games. What would that be called?
Gender.
Or, with a G?
because I'm thinking in French. I'm still thinking in French right now.
J for jeu.
Jeu de société, yeah. Gender.
Ginder in English, which is all too close to another application that has something to do with Tinder. If there was a Tinder for board game people where you could find people like the same type of game as you, I'm sure that would be a lot of fun. But go online and find those Facebook groups, whether it's a buy and sell, but you could probably post a question saying, is there any board game group that I could join? I've met people through buying games used that were at a board game night, or they mentioned their board game club and they would say, you know, come on over on Wednesday nights and we play at this local church or we play at this local community center or whatever. And if you don't know anybody that likes games, it's a great way to get in. You get to try a bunch of different games. You get to do your research. You get to see if you really like it. Sometimes you can even buy used games off of friends or people that you meet at these groups because they're selling games. And if you have a friend that is into games, just try and hang out with them on a weekend if they love games, they're going to want to play. So if you're even the slightest bit interested and you're trying to try new stuff, they're totally going to show you everything that they like and everything that they have. And I think that people that like games are pretty cool. So that could be fun.
Well, it depends. Not all the time. You know, one thing that's sad though, I wish board game cafes had that function, sort of like you could go to a board game cafe and then just find people with whom you can play games. I've never been to a board game cafe that way. There's like, I wish there was like a night, not like a sort of like a night for single players. would be kind of nice, where you can just go and like find people to play games with. A few times when we were at board game cafes, I almost asked someone at a table next to us, like, do you guys want to read, like join us or something? Cause it just seems ridiculous that we're trying to find players, but there's just like this room full of players, but you're just too shy or too ashamed to ask them to play with you. It's kind of odd, I feel.
But for you, it's like self-preservation, you know, because if you ask somebody to do anything with you, their default is often to say no because of how you look.
Okay. How do I look?
Well, right now you look wonderful.
Thank you. So my number one is calm down. Calm down. Basically, don't buy just because you want to buy. And I know from experience, it is a sort of burden. I can't, you know, like I look at a game, it looks good and I want to buy it. I remember a few years ago, I'm in Paris right now. And then I was in Paris at that time too. And I didn't have my room. So I landed at like 8 a.m. and I came to the hotel and I couldn't have my room until 4. So I looked up what was going on in Paris at that moment. And there was like a big board game convention outside. It was in a park, but with little tents. And you could go there, pay €5, and then play any game you wanted. And then talk to publishers and stuff like that. It was pretty cool. And I saw the game Teluva, and it looked amazing. It was like the big version of it. And I don't know, for some reason, I really wanted Teluva. I came back to Canada. It was difficult to find. I ended up being able to find it. I paid, I don't know how much for it. I got it. I played. It's not bad. It's just not great. And I ended up selling it. So whoever has it right now, it probably feels the way I felt when I bought it.
Oh, I thought you were saying that they also felt disappointed by the game, and it was this like perpetual curse of a game that was going to be passed from used buyer to used buyer.
Exactly. And just today I was talking to one of our friends, and he saw a game called Parks, and the art is pretty great, but the only thing he knew about the game was the art. And he was like, it's amazing. I want it. And he just went to the board game cafe in Halifax and bought it. So that's the type of things you should not do. Don't calm down. Just go online, look it up. Look if you think it's going to be your type of game. There's a bunch of people even playing the whole game online. I've never watched a whole game of something being played online, but I don't want to watch that. But but some people do, I guess. And then it's a good way, I feel, to find out if you're going to like the game or not. Anyway, that was not my number one.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it kind of is, we've echoed each other in a couple of our different pieces of advice. And you know what? If you wait a bit, even if you're positive you like it, you might be able to find it used too, or you'll be able to watch a couple more videos or meet somebody that already has it and you can play with them. So I totally agree with you, Luc.
A few people still have to buy new games though, because we want designers to create new games. So you know what I'm talking about. Like, we're both musicians who created music and recorded music in the past. So if people don't actually buy that music, you can't live off of it. So that's why we're making podcasts about board games right now.
100%. I think that, there's probably little to no risk in telling someone to buy a game used that they will stop buying them new, because it is an addictive hobby, and we end up buying them new anyway because we're overexcited. So hopefully you do support the board game designers in buying them new and not just letting copies and copies and copies sit covered in dust while you're waiting to find that one used copy. But especially an incredibly hot game that is sold out. Well, that designer has maybe done pretty well with his design, and I think that you can probably wait 6 months and probably find it used when somebody's done with it.
Exactly. Well, that was our top three of the tips we were giving you if you're starting in the hobby. It turned out to be a top four, but at first it was a top three. And thanks for listening, and not see you, but hear you next time on...
I mean, I guess that we won't hear them at all.
Anyway, something like that.
All right. Well, yeah, guys, thanks a lot for listening in. Feel free to shoot us a question our way at menage2jeux@gmail.com. If you're confused about how to spell that, you can listen to our first two episodes where I very beautifully spelled it out for you. It is quite a bit of French, but I believe that you guys can get through it. menage2jeux@gmail.com. We will see you next time. We will hear you next time. We won't smell you next time.
Hopefully not that last one. Anyway, see ya.
Bye, guys.
Okay, bye.
Are you ready?
Indeed.
Gotta get ready, you know?
Are you ready for a good time?
Oh, I thought you were gonna keep going. Okay.